And I saw these people operating from their heart space, and I realized how afraid I was of opening up. I have had many, many, many mentors that are just inspirational in taking the leap. Yeah, what a blessing to be in a industry, in a business, that the business is emotion.
All right, hey guys, welcome back to the studio. Today we have the Dixon of Dixon's Violin in the studio. Welcome to the studio, Dixon.
Thank you so much, Mike.
I'm so happy to have you here.
Yay, I'm glad to be here.
Yes, we have so many people in common, including Kevin Lamb.
Yep.
And the beautiful Jackie Pappas.
Yes.
Everyone has great things to say about you, so God. I'm happy to connect today.
Thank you. Half of what you've heard is true.
Yes, and the other half are lies. I appreciate that about you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing your story. I don't know too much about your journey, so
ooh.
I'm looking forward to you sharing.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
So you play the violin. That's a passion of yours.
It is.
Yes.
And it wasn't always. Right. So my for those that have not met me yet, I actually spent most of my life in technology. So I had a very serious technology career for most of my life. And I quit to follow my dream 16 years ago. And now I'm blessed to be touring the country and beyond. I'm a kind of a one man band on a 5-string electric violin now, sharing my heart as widely as I can.
That's amazing. So I'm fascinated by the technology career. What was the initial lead-in for the technology career?
Yeah, so I'm a geek.
Yeah.
I'm a recovering geek.
I love it.
I went to college and grad school for computer science, and my specialty was multidimensional data visualization. I've got a patent in virtual reality. I had a 18-year career as director of technology at a couple startup companies in Lansing, Michigan. And we, started as little companies with 3 or 5 people and grew them to 100 people. And I was doing well and just had this, I was really blessed. I had this really amazing career. I was working on cool projects. We were small companies, but we were working, our clients were some of the largest companies in the world. We were working with British Petroleum and the Department of Defense and, just Microsoft and these huge companies. And we were just these little startups in Lansing, Michigan. And, I was making good money and making a difference in that world, working with cool people. And yet at the same time, I was all along, I'd been playing classical music as a hobby.
Wow.
So I started playing violin actually when I was 10 years old. And never intended to do that for a living because, I was good at computers.
And yeah.
That's where the money is. And but I liked it. And I was persistent and patient and I practiced a lot. And so I, quote unquote, got good at it. And but, again, my tech thing was yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. And then I had a life change. So I went to a festival in 2005 that changed my life. And I went to this festival and I realized I was surrounded by people that were living deeply, people that were expressing and emoting and sharing and flowing, and I wasn't. And I was always in my head. And that's all I knew was my headspace.
Yeah.
And I saw these people operating from their heart space, and I realized how afraid I was of opening up. And how closed off I was, and I was like, wow, these people are just putting it out there fearlessly, and I'm terrified of doing that. And so I started to practice. I just started to try opening up a little bit here and there and try to pay attention to my feelings more, and it changed everything.
That's amazing because that industry that you were formerly in is not so expressive, right?
it's not so
heart-centered, right? It's kind of cold.
It's hyper-masculine, don't express emotion, just show me the data. It's, how do we
data
get the project done? How are we going to make the money? Show me the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
That's it.
And suit and tie kind of too throughout that journey. I can picture.
Oh, we had casual Fridays.
Okay.
So on Fridays.
Well, I love your style. You're very casual and you're operating from your heart. So.
What I wear now is a little different than what I wore then.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
I remember some first real business meeting where my boss was like, you know, one of the founders was like, you got to wear a suit for this. Like, and I was like, I don't have one. And so we went out and he bought me a suit.
Wow. Yeah, I get it.
Oh man. Yeah. Different world. My world is a little different now.
Now, did you in that industry, cause that's so fascinating. Cause I mean, I've just got, as we connected off camera, I vibe with you. I love your vibe. You're a great soul. You're a beautiful soul. And I have to ask, during your course, over the course of your career in computers and technology, was there anyone that you ever vibed with or connected with that you found similar to you in any way?
Well, yes and no. Like fellow geeks, absolutely. Right. So
right.
People that I really enjoyed that. Right. I did not quit because it sucked. Right. I really genuinely enjoyed working with these people in these projects. It was intellectually fascinating.
Yeah.
Right. So I am still a puzzle solver. Right. And I was surrounded by other fellow puzzle solvers, people that, you know, we were just like, how can we make this work?
Right.
And that was neat. Right. So I did vibe intellectually with a lot of people and, you know, had fun and all that. But when I started to find my own voice, right? So I started to, so flash forward. So I was in the tech world, still doing classical as a hobby. I go to this festival that cracked my heart open, right? So now I start to express myself. I start to explore my feelings. I start to experiment musically, right? So I finally got up the courage to get weird.
Yeah.
Right? So in life and with music. And I switched from classical, like an acoustic standard violin. I switched to an electric violin. I started sitting in with bands. I started, it was anybody, like folks in Lansing, Michigan, you probably heard me sitting in with some rock band, blues band, jazz band, klezmer music, like gypsy jazz, like anybody, anything I could get my hands on. I was experimenting. And I learned a lot. I changed the instrumentation I was using, you know, from a standard violin to an electric violin. I learned from guitar players to use pedals, right? So I started using effects pedals like stomp boxes with my electric violin. I learned from guitar players who were doing looping. So I used loopers. I now made my own looper. But then what happened is I started to find my voice, like my style. When I found my style and when I realized the power of sharing your heart with others.
Yeah.
Right. So now when I was getting on stage and I was sharing my own heart, my own style of music with audiences, and then afterwards people would come up to me with tears in their eyes.
Wow.
Right. And they'd be like, "You've changed my world." That's when I knew I had to quit. And I did. Right. So then now I'm in this new world, not knowing what the heck I'm doing. Right. Total idiot. I'm just like, I'll just make music. This will be easy. No.
Right.
But what's cool is now, back to your question, is now I'm vibing with people in a much more authentic way. Right. So it's not just intellectual, like, hey, cool, we're puzzle solvers. Now it's like, whoa, I feel your soul. You know, like you were saying, as I also vibe in with you very much. It's like, wow, heart-centric. Yes. Like, this is real. What a gift to be operating in life authentically. When I was in the office, I had this mask on, right? So there was the me in the office, and then there was the me when I went home.
Yeah.
Now it's just me.
Right.
Right. It's so much less stress. Right?
I love your comment about when you were about to get weird, things were about to get weird because like Jim Morrison said, where's your will to be weird?
Nice.
It reminded me of that quote. I love Jim Morrison poetry.
I love that. I had not heard that. Where's your will to be weird?
Yes.
Yes.
That's fantastic. And it's kind of like you didn't know what you were doing when you got into the music world, but you did, because I think it's so smart what you said. You did all of it. Like when I get into something that's out of my comfort zone, but I'm passionate about and it resonates with me, I do all the things.
All the things.
So like you said, you played with anybody that you could possibly play with.
Yep.
And that's fantastic. I mean, what a great experience is the best teacher.
Yeah.
And I bet you had come across amazing mentors during that process too. Like you said, you tapped
into the pedals.
I've been inspired
by a lot of people. I wish I would still welcome other mentors that are a little closer to what I do, as if that's possible. But like so now the challenge I have is that I'm very weird. I'm the weird of the weird, right? So it's weird already to quit a good job to be a musician. That's weird, right? You got to have a screw loose to
right.
like walk away from a good paycheck to yeah. like do this for a living, because wow, that's hard. But then I am fierce about my focus on my style, and it's really different. Nobody's doing what I do.
Yeah,
the style of music I do is unique. I've kind of invented a genre, and my life would be way easier if I did play the blues or cover songs. It'd be way easier, and it wouldn't be authentic for me, right? And so it would be nice to have other mentors that are experienced in the weirdness of the music business, like for weird acts, right?
Yeah.
I'm more a performing artist than a musician.
I get what
musician,
you mean by that.
Right? And yet I have had many, many, many mentors that are just inspirational in taking the leap, right? Or, seeing people that are creating their own tours, their own styles. One of the things that also is insane about me is, so the good news is I had all this business experience, right? And it was startup companies. These were small, again, like it was two. The first one, I was like the first employee. There was like two founders and me. And then the second one, there was like five people when I joined the company. So little bitty companies. And in that world, you had to do everything. You had to learn, find the gap. You couldn't hide behind a job description.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, well, I'm just going to do this little role over here and that's all I do. It's like, no, you've got to do everything possible.
You're a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I've always had to be that way. And I like what you said, like to your point about the mentors, is that, well, you're your own original blueprint. You're the original blueprint, so nobody can copy you. So like when I reference my mentors, I reference them in inspiration. They've all inspired me. I could never be them. I would never be able to copy who they were, because they were their own. They were the original blueprint because they were them. Right.
Yeah. And
Yes.
In fact, as you're saying that, you're reminding me, because I was living in Lansing, Michigan at the time that this transformation started. And that's where my tech career was. And yet in what I started to do is, in the weekends, I was going to Detroit and doing whatever performances I could, sitting in with whoever I could. And the performing arts scene in Detroit is amazing. And there are some performing artists there that were just fearless in their avant-garde. Is like weird, like bizarre, like you're doing what for a performance? And it was fascinating. And it really was like, okay, if they can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
Right. If they can color so far outside the lines, right? They're coloring it off the page. They're around the block. Right. And like, okay, why think small?
Yeah.
I can get really weird.
Yeah.
And to see that they were fearless in doing it, and the impact it had, and not just me, but the rest of the audience, it's like, this is the craziest thing I've seen in the world. I love this.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yeah. I can do something like that. Cool.
Yeah. It really ignites the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I think there's mentorship all around us in those ways right there. It's like, inspiration's all around us, and it helps you. Like you said, you are in the wonderful world of technology and computers, but like you didn't even realize that you had that spark in your soul until it ignited.
Yep.
It's like, boom.
Yep. And then you can't ignore it.
No.
Well, it's a lot of work to ignore it, right? And I chose to follow it and then do all the work to make it happen, right? So, and then there's the tough reality of being an artist and doing it for a living, is that it's mostly business, right? So now I spend 98% of my energy on the business.
Yeah. Right?
I want to do that. So now I'm doing roughly 120 concerts a year, which is a lot.
Yeah.
Right. And most of them I'm producing. And now I'm blessed to have a team, Right. And so shout out to our mutual friend, Kevin Lamb, shout out to Kevin and Zaina and Morgan and Leslie. Like I'm very blessed to have a team now. For the first 7 years, I didn't. Right. For the first 7 years, it was me and me.
Yeah.
Right? Chief executive toilet plunger right here. And I didn't know what the heck I was doing, but I was inspired and I was willing to do the work again and again and again. For years trying to figure this out and failing and failing and failing. Oh, that didn't work. Oh, that didn't work. Oh, wait, that kind of worked. Okay, that didn't work. And that didn't work. Okay, that kind of worked. And slowly figuring it out. And then just when I thought I had it figured out and started to have a little success, the pandemic hit, crushed everything. Right. And then, okay, kind of recovering from that. And then the economy took a dive. Okay, I crushed everything. And that, so yeah, it's a continual process. The good news is the puzzle solver in me is constantly engaged. Yeah. Right. So I do get that. And so I'm again a weirdo in that I'm blessed to have the business experience. A lot of artists don't, right? They're brilliant, brilliant artists that really have a hard time doing this for a living. I'm blessed to have experience, and I'm willing to work the spreadsheet and do the sales and the marketing and all this stuff because I know the end goal.
You're self-managed.
I am.
That's self-managed. A beautiful thing.
Yeah.
For an artist.
It gives me a lot of freedom. Yeah. So I can keep the artistic integrity because my mission, I always come back to my mission. My mission is to inspire people, right? I'm not here. I'm not doing this for the money because if I go back to tech,
right? Yeah,
I can make a lot more money in tech. But it's what I want is at the end of the show, I want somebody to like have a tear in their eye. Right. And then I know I've done a good job.
That's interesting because I have to tell you, I've always felt moved by the violin. When I hear violin, classical music, anything from that genre, I find it very calming. I listen to it while I drive because traffic can be a trigger for me where
sure.
I get frustrated. And I had found my way to classical music. This was years ago. We have a very similar path, by the way. While I don't play the violin or I'm not musically inclined, I love music. And when I started up my business, it was very much what you just described. I was an army of one and yep. I started in 2016. And then you can't know all the things until you know the things, right?
Right.
So all the lessons lead you to the experiences to the things that do work, much like you just described. I walked that path and then ultimately I built my team and my passion was building my nonprofit to support the special needs community, people with diverse needs and various diagnoses. I've been in the mental health field for 30 years. Mm. And that was my passion and to inspire people. And
yeah.
So then, you know, as you mentioned, the pandemic hit, you know, and then you're faced with that, but then it builds you and you pivot and you still push forward and persevere and you have all of the same qualities that I feel like we mirror each other in various ways here. Hearing your story has been giving me goosebumps the whole time because I can feel your passion, number one, and your mission to inspire people and also your passion for music and sharing your heart with others. It's very touching to hear somebody that's willing to expose their soul, you know, to others in an effort to inspire. I think it's beautiful.
Thank you. And that's what I find is a lot of people are afraid to be that vulnerable, to expose themselves emotionally in a performance or just with sharing your heart with others. And also a lot of people hesitate in being vulnerable financially. Clearly.
Yeah.
And this takes both. And what I've learned is man, persistence makes a big difference. Like people give up too soon. I have a joke I often tell about the violin because the reality is anybody can play the violin, anybody, but there's a trick. And the trick is the first 2 years suck. Right. but everybody gives up too soon.
Yeah.
Right. They try it for 3 months, 6 months, a year, and it still sounds awful. And they're like, oh, it must not be for me. You know, I'm not a prodigy. It's like, no, you just haven't gone long enough. It'll sound really, really bad for 2 years. And then it starts to sound good.
Three is the magic number. It's the third year.
There you go. Yes.
Three is the number of creation.
I like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then, you know, even, and then the business side too, like you will fail and fail and fail and fail, keep going, fail and fail, keep going. Right. And then you can figure it out.
Truly. I can relate to everything you say. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And you've got to be willing to do that work. And also it's also checking in with the authenticity of it too. Right. I'm not saying that, just bang your head against the wall forever, right? Check in. Is this really where your heart's at?
Right.
And are you willing to do the work? And if both of those are true,
yeah. Keep and going. You're very passionate about the integrity of your music.
Very.
I think that's
yeah. In fact, I get asked this 2 days ago. I got yet another request from somebody to collaborate. Right, and it's very sweet. It's like what an honor.
Yeah.
That somebody is like, I want to collaborate. I want to make art with you. Like that's super, super nice. I'm not going to do it. Right. And so I've got a blurb that I can copy paste and reword a little bit because this happened so many times. And I want to honor the blessing of that request and be like, no, really, thank you. This is really cool.
Yeah.
I'm honored by this. I'm not going to do it.
Right.
Right. And so I want to word it carefully so I don't like hurt somebody's feelings. And I'm in this awkward, state now where I'm known enough to get those requests regularly. I'm not known enough that this is easy. Right. So, which reminds me, I've got a theory about fame. Because I used to think that there were famous people and then everybody else, that there were two levels.
Right.
And I now believe there's 15. 15 levels,
yeah.
Right? And I started at level one where nobody knew where I was. And now I think I'm a six. I think I'm a six, right? And six is way better than five, right? So I've got, you know, a number of people following me online and Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and Spotify and whatever. But I'm not a seven. And when you hit seven or eight, your life gets easier than it is at a six. Like, and there's a point, like right now, I have to work so hard to get people to come to a concert. And people don't believe that. Like people that have heard me, they're like, well, you're a really good violinist. So if you just show up, people will buy a ticket. I'm like, no, they won't. I'm not that well known. I mean, I'm a level six known, but I'm not a seven or eight or, and then, you know, Taylor Swift is one.
Right.
or 15. Sorry. I got the ends mixed up there. Top level.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not. So 90% of my energy is trying to get the word out for shows and convince strangers to come to this thing that they've never heard of. People don't know the name Dixon's Violin until they've experienced a concert. As soon as you've heard it, hopefully you'll remember it. I am unique. I've got a pretty good track record for people returning or telling their friends. Awesome. But if you go to your next door neighbor, they've never heard of me.
Right.
Right? And that's fine. That's cool. Right. But
you're doing your own promotions.
Yeah.
So you're across all platforms and do you stream too?
Are
you
all the things, yeah. Everything I can get my hands on.
Yeah.
Right? That's and it is a wonderful ego check. Right. Because, you know, I'll do the show and, you know, standing ovation and people are crying and like, wow, that was awesome. And then the next day I'm trying to get hired somewhere and they're like, who are you?
Right. Yeah, it's part of the process, right? It is an ego check. Checks and balances.
Checks and balances.
I think that's important. I everything resonates with me. Now, are you touring all over the country?
I am. I'm and it's weird. I started, so I'm based in Michigan and, it radiates out. So I do a lot of shows in Michigan. Most of the shows are in the Midwest, you know, Great Lakes area, especially, I'll be touring in Florida in January. I used to bounce coast to coast more and then I got a little more strategic because it's just a lot of work and money to go to the West Coast when there's millions of people within a 4-hour drive. So why am I killing myself trying to go that far? My furthest I've gone is South Africa. And that's, that was amazing. And I don't do that very often.
Right.
So yeah, it radiates out and I am opening up again a bit. I'm trying to, I know enough to be dangerous now And so I'm experimenting with kind of expanding the radius more.
That's fantastic. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of energy, passion, and money too, because you're your own, you're self-managed and you're your own promotional package.
Yep.
So yeah, I can appreciate all the things.
I often say my boss is a jerk.
Yeah.
He works me so hard.
Yeah.
It's me.
You've been through a lot throughout the whole course. It sounds like we've had such similar paths in experiencing, a global shutdown with everything and not being able to connect with humans in person and perform your music. I mean, everyone goes through their ups and downs. As I shared with you, I've worked in the mental health field for 30 years, and one of my passions was sharing with people inspiring stories much like yours with an audience. That's how the Inner Circle On Air came about. What were some therapeutic ways that you found healing for yourself when facing adversity? I know music obviously is one. The violin must be a form of therapy and healing for your heart, your soul. Obviously, you're sharing it with the world. What are some other things that help, for anybody listening, getting into the music business? Like you said, most people give up 2 years in. It's like in jiu-jitsu. Everybody quits after they become a blue belt. And that's
funny.
Everybody quits after blue belt. It's like a thing, just like you said with the violin. And that's about 2 years. So I'm always fascinated by what helps keep you going.
Yeah, it's funny because when I was in the corporate world, nothing was personal. It was business, right? So when there were issues, it was company issues, client issues, product issues, these things that had nothing to do with me. Now it's personal. Now I have just as many issues to deal with, maybe more.
Yeah.
And wow, are they personal, right? They hit me personally, right? So so mental health is something that I'm conscious of frequently, right? So my own and others, right? So the beauty is that what I'm sharing is an emotional practice, right? You're not coming to a concert to buy groceries or to buy a widget that's going to do something functional. There's nothing functional about this experience. It's an entirely emotional experience. What a gift that is, right? So I even often do in the show, I will joke in the middle of it, I will often say, thanks for coming to my therapy session, right?
Yeah.
And it really is. It's like, I'm going to take you on a journey that's going to be, and it's not all happy, right? I play maybe one or two happy songs. I play many sad songs, angry songs, gritty, like, songs, right? You're going to go through the ringer. And it's deeply satisfying to me personally to also go through that journey, right? Yeah. I'm not an act. I'm not just doing lines. I'm feeling every moment of this. And it's such a good therapy for me. It is a therapy for me. If I don't play for a while, I get weird in a bad way, right? So it's really a good practice exercise for me, and I hope for the audience too. Meanwhile, I have to be conscious of my mental health between the performances, right? So it can be very easy to take things personally when I'm getting turned down, rejected, right? So I say I'm producing probably, I don't know, 85% of the shows that I'm doing, right? But then there's the other ones that I'm getting hired for, and most often not hired for.
Yeah.
So to send out, the resume to these really cool festivals or events and get ignored over and over and over. And then if you get a response, it's usually no, no thanks, we pass. And then every once in a while, it's a yes. And man, did I used to take that so hard, right? And so I had to build up a resilience to be like, oh, that's not me personally. I'm not getting rejected as a human. They don't know me and my soul. What they're seeing is my resume, and they're seeing if that's a fit with whatever they're looking for. In fact, the first time this hit me, this show I was doing in Detroit 20 years ago, and I've been doing this show for years, and my friends ran it, And I was really happy with the way it was going. The audience reaction to what I was doing was amazing. And yet every year I felt like they were trying to make my role smaller. And then the next year my role was smaller. And I'm like, people are loving what I'm doing. Like, what's going on? And because it was my friends, I was able to talk to them for real and be like, what's going on? Like, are you not happy with what I'm doing? And they're like, oh no. No, that's not it. We're trying to change the direction of the event. We want this to be more dance party. I'm like, oh, I don't do dance party.
Right.
I mean, I'll go to a dance party, but that's not the form of art that I present. So I'm an apple. You want an orange.
Yes.
It's not that I'm a bad apple.
Yeah.
You just want an orange.
Right.
Great. Right. And it's, oh man. So as artists, like we're constantly faced with the judgment and with the rejection, and we can take it personally because you're like, this is my heart. Please accept it. And
Yes.
what they often will say is no.
Yeah.
So I got to watch that and go, it's not me personally. And by the way, I do that both ways. So when things are bad, I practice not taking that personally,
Yeah.
right? So when I'm not getting hired or when I have a show that falls flat or whatever, try not to take that personally. And when things go really good and the clouds part and the angels are singing, people are just sobbing. I'm like, that's not all me either,
Right.
right? It could be the environment. It could be that they're in a really heart open space to begin with. Like I'm part of that, but I'm not all of that.
Right.
So, accept what's mine, release what's not mine, right? And then, and other things like just, I have to energetically and emotionally be careful being in such heart open space with so many people, right? And what I do that's also different when I'm doing a show, I want to greet people. I want as they're coming in the theater, right? I do a lot of shows in theaters, so I'm there. You walk in the door, there's me, and I want to say hi. I love meeting people, right? And so you might have a couple hundred people coming through
Right.
that you're now energetically interacting with. You're
Yeah.
then pouring your heart out for the concert, and then afterwards, it's just huge, like wow. And then you're going to get all this stuff, and then 10 minutes later, it's empty.
You're right.
That is a intense emotional ride. And so I have to very much practice grounding. I have to, do mindful breathing. I have to, energetically, again, accept what's mine, release what's not mine, so that I can operate, because you can get crushed by that.
And the silence and the loneliness going from being around masses of people and sharing in that experience and then silence
That
and
silence.
loneliness.
It's really weird. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's 10 minutes after the show,
Right.
often empty, right? And then you're on the road, right? And
Yeah.
you're just in a
It's
car.
interesting because you have to have both as a creative artist and as a man in business, like you have to have such a thick skin for both. And you're sometimes people are one or the other, right? And so, like, and I feel like we resonate with each other because I had to be both too for starting my business. It was passion and, it was a nonprofit, but nonprofit is not, it's much like you're running a business. So it's often like while you start from passion and you're mission focused, it often runs like an LLC, just like a business, because you have to be a well-oiled machine to keep it going. You know,
Yeah, you do.
yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah. It's, I get everything that you're saying. And man, you've just had such a blessed journey. I think all the good, the bad, you know how to ground yourself, you know who you are, where you're going, you know how to manage. I think that's just amazing. I think you're an amazing human. And
Thank you.
when you describe your set list, your playlist, like when you're doing a show, I love it because that's my workout playlist, is
Nice.
everything you described. It's an emotional roller coaster of like, it's yes, it's uplifting at points, and then it's gritty, and then it's angry, and then it's emotional. You should see my
I
playlists,
love this.
and it's crazy because my workout is very much that, in anything that I'm doing or just going for a walk, it's all of those things too, because that's who I am as a person. That's who I
So
am as
there's
a
another
soul.
thing we have in common. So I
Yeah.
started exercising seriously 6 years ago, and it's also part of my emotional practice, right? So my mental health is improved if I exercise, and I didn't expect that because I started it as protection. So there's a myth. People think, oh, you're a violinist. You must play the violin all the time. No, I don't.
Right.
I'm in a laptop all the time. The 98% of my energy is on the business, and that's typing. So I'm sitting, typing. And then I'm sitting in a car, driving. And then I'm lifting a PA system onto a stage. So I'm lifting heavy gear.
Right.
And I started to ruin my back. And I was like, whoa, I need to protect myself. I need to protect my body because I'm sitting way too much. It's a sitting disease, right? And then I'm lifting this heavy gear. I really need to protect myself. So I started exercising. I started going to the gym. My latest passion is rock climbing. So indoor rock climbing.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. I love it. Absolutely love it. And it had a couple benefits. One is that I am protecting myself. So I haven't hurt myself from lifting heavy gear in years. Awesome. Great. But it helped my mental health. It helps. I'm like, I didn't expect that. Right. I knew playing the violin was good for my mental health.
Right.
Right. And then, I do yoga, I meditate, you know, so it's like, but I didn't expect that exercise would help my mental health too. And it does.
Yeah.
It really does. Right. And I try to eat well. To me, it's like, do everything possible, like pull out whatever tools, all the tools that work for you. And what's cool is there's a lot of tools. And I wouldn't say, for example, I wouldn't say yoga is for everybody. It's probably for most people, but like find what works for you.
Yep.
And if that tool works for you, use it.
I'm into customization. I tailor make everything to me.
Nice.
And when I tried yoga for the first time, because I didn't think it was for me, I was like, oh, it is for me because I love stretching and breathing. And that's really essentially what yoga is.
Yep.
It's more about the breath and that it's more about the breathing than it is getting the poses right.
Yeah.
Right. Like the poses come along with it later. I had to learn that. And I don't take any of that too seriously. Because people get into it and then they think they're doing it wrong if they don't have the pose right. It's just about the breathing and the act of itself.
Yep.
So I got into that. I found my way into fitness too while I was correcting a back issue. Yep. So how you correct the back issue is work on your core.
Yep.
So that led me into my fitness journey. And then I was watching it help mitigate my depression.
Yep.
And things were changing. Everything unfolded. And then just life unfolded one by, step by step after that.
Yeah.
And watching it happen was amazing.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's cool. Yeah. Use all the tools. And something else that I've only become aware of in the last few years is just how prevalent mental health issues are, right? I've been pretty blessed with a relatively straightforward life. Like I didn't have huge adversity. You know, there's people that have like serious issues in their life that I don't have.
Yeah.
Right. I had a stable family, right? I went to college, got a good job, right? But now that I'm interacting with people more authentically, I learn more about people personally. You know, again, very different from when I was in the office. I didn't know people personally at all.
And people don't talk. They don't share. No.
So now they do. And now it's like, oh, wait, this is a thing, right? So now I know just how many people are struggling with mental health issues.
Yeah.
And then I've had people very, very close to me that like it was so bad that they even tried to end life or did their life.
Yeah.
Right. And there's been a couple that I've been like, I was right there with them during these processes.
Yeah.
Right. And so I don't take anything for granted, and I have more compassion, right? I'm saying to myself, anybody you meet, you have no idea what struggles they're going through right now. And statistically, it's probable that the people are struggling with some kind of mental health issue. I think more now than ever.
I think so too.
Yeah. So it's a good thing to be aware of so that you can have more compassion with people and not just brush them off. Synchronistically for me, it makes me feel even more honored to be sharing an experience that maybe can provide some relief or help or something with that. I know personally, I was so cut off from my emotions in the past. I would really repress them. I had, you know, I had a loving family, but we weren't super emotionally open, right?
I can relate.
Yeah. I felt love, but it's not like we talked about feelings.
Right.
We didn't talk about feelings. What? No. And
we're from that same generation, so.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I'm sure a generational thing, right?
Yes.
And now it's like, no, we're talking about feelings all the time.
Yep.
And what a blessing to be in a industry and a business that the business is emotion. How cool. So I'm hoping that this helps people.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so inspired by you. I can't wait to dive into your music and actually see a live performance. So
goody. Yes, yeah, please.
For the audience, in the next coming year in 2026, do you have anything on the books that you can share?
I'm doing about 120 shows a year.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll have about 120, maybe more. Like I'm hoping that it's like, it's weird. This thing goes in waves, right? There's
take the breaks while you can.
Thank you for the reminder. I have a hard time with that.
Right.
Break? What's it? Break?
Me too.
You're supposed to? What? Yeah, I know. And the breaks often present themselves in the time that I resist them, right? So this is November going into December, and things are always slow this time of year. And it's like I refuse to believe that. So yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, things are so slow right now. I should be doing lots and lots of concerts right now. What's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Now it happens every year. And then January is like banging. Like we'll be right back into it doing all these shows. But so for those curious, dixonsviolin.com, you can see the ever-evolving tour. It's
awesome.
It's all over. I will be playing in Clarkston here coming up in a couple weeks.
That's awesome. Fantastic.
Hopefully by the time this airs, it might be sold out, but double check.
Yeah, you sell out your shows. You have a method to your madness.
I do, sir. And I have found the trick to selling out a show is you do it in a small space.
Yeah.
That's the trick.
Hey, less is more sometimes, right? Yeah.
Actually, it is. It's really, I am blessed. I have such variety in my life. I play little concerts. You know, I've done house concerts where there's 20, 30 people there. And then I play bigger shows like the Electric Forest Festival, where there's 50,000 people
at
the festival, right? So I'm playing for 3,000 people, and
that's just got to be exhilarating.
It's a rush.
Yeah,
it's a rush, and it's not better. So there's a myth that more is better,
right?
And I found more is just different, right? So you do get a rush from that. Like there's a thing when you hear the audience, the shout, the rush, the roar of 3,000 people.
Yeah.
That's a thing. But then I've been in these little concerts, little listening rooms. I love listening rooms, small theaters, right? Where there's maybe, you know, 75 people, and like you can really connect with people that way.
I was going to say, you come across as a very intimate person.
Yeah.
And so while you love the thrill of 3,000 people, a small intimate room, it's like apples and oranges. You're grateful to be playing in either setting.
Yeah.
And that's just amazing. Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I do love the variety. It's wonderful.
Yes. I've had the best time chatting with you today. I've had the goosebumps the whole episode, yay! I think. Yeah. You've inspired me. And I know anyone listening to this episode is going to be inspired by you too. And I hope they find their way to your music. I know I have. And I want to thank you again for coming out. And I'd like to share your handles too. You shared your website. Your Instagram is?
Yeah, Dixon's Violin. I'm very systematic and consistent with it. It's always Dixon's Violin. So I'm on all the platforms. I'm a geek. If you find a platform I'm not on, I must have missed it somehow. So let me know. But yeah, Dixon's Violin anywhere.
Fantastic. Thank you again for joining me.
Thank you, Mike.
Yes. All right, guys. Dixon's Violin. That's a wrap.